Financialization of Volkerian Gotterdammerung? By 2005, as U.S. wise men of great financial wealth or the exalted status of former Federal Reserve Board chairman, the Warren Buffetts, Paul Volckers et al., watched the global markets in Wagnerian contemplation, waiting for the cliched fat lady to sing, no one could deny the dramatic circumstances of potential economic crisis. Even Alan Greenspan had commented on exotic forms of adjustable rate mortgages and the uncertain dangers posed by hedge funds. For the U.S. financial system to avoid a crisis would take a miracle, some thought, because policies by the Bush White House, the GOP Congress, and a sympathetic Federal Reserve Board had brought about excesses ranging from huge tax cuts and deficit finance to deregulation and growth of a massive credit bubble. In this context, a half dozen circumstances and practices, the fodder perhaps for some future book in the style of manias, panics, and crashes, stood out for speculative conflagrational potential. Several of the new derivative instruments were front and center. Collateral debt obligations, CDOs, became popular in the late 1990s, conjoining the unprecedented total of consumer borrowing. Papers of indebtedness incurred for purchases that ranged from cars and boats to facelifts, with the financial sector's own innovative packaging talents. In a descriptive nutshell, CDOs in the multiple millions of dollars are pasted together by banks and investment firms from almost any kind of debt that lenders are willing to sell. These confections are then sliced up. Tranched is Wall Street's preferred word, and sold off by risk levels, according to mathematical models of how they will behave in the aggregate. The high-priced guesswork, not surprisingly, commands rich fees. One investment firm, for example, set aside a $100 million litigation fund in 2005 to deal with a federal securities regulatory challenge into how it determined a fair value and priced a CDO package. By then, CDOs represented a huge multi-trillion dollar market. However, because they were complicated and sold only institution to institution, skeptics worried about dangerous illiquidity in a panic. The second major variety of credit derivatives, so-called credit default swaps, CDSs, elicited this distillation from one investment banker. Credit default swaps offered a way to short corporate bonds or bet on them to decline in value without paying high borrowing costs for money to actually purchase and then sell them. Moreover, they provided a way to buy and sell the perceived credit risk of a corporation without actually exchanging the underlying corporate bonds. These, too, grew from peanuts in the mid-1990s to multiple trillions in less than a decade. Regulation of what had become a $5 trillion over-the-counter credit derivatives market by 2005 was negligible in the United States. In Britain, though, a more vigilant financial services authority warned that the volume of these arrangements had caused banks to fall behind in documenting and confirming the complex terms involved. Unfortunately, the lesson of financial history, that debacles often involve the untested cutting edge of innovation, such as Enron in 2001 and so-called portfolio insurance back in 1987, is that credit derivatives could play a role if push came to shove. Warren Buffett, as we have seen, called them a time bomb. Which brings us to hedge funds, the coteries of clever people who make money by playing angles too chancy for regulated institutions. Hedge funds are not regulated. But between 1990 and 2005, they multiplied from only a few hundred to about 8,500 in the United States alone, many rushing boldly onto the credit derivatives playing field. In mid-2005, the Fitch Credit Ratings Company issued a special report, Hedge Funds, an Emerging Force in the Global Credit Markets, estimating that 30% of the $8.4 trillion credit derivatives market was controlled by the funds. Fitch saw potential for a far-reaching liquidity squeeze and price dislocation across multiple credit markets due to hedge funds' presence.